Lundquist made sure Drake Daniels saw Jim Garrison being escorted out of the interview room at the Swan Harbor PD station house. The look on Daniels' face told Lundquist Jesse was probably right, and that with a little encouragement, the Swan Harbor cop would break. It hadn't been easy for Lundquist and Jesse to convince Chief Forster to let them interrogate Garrison and Daniels at the Swan Harbor station. The truth was that Lundquist could have done the questioning at a state police facility, or even in Paradise, but Jesse insisted it be done in Swan Harbor. Jesse said, "Daniels will really feel the pressure if we do it in his own station. I want him to see the other cops stare at him, whisper, and shake their heads, while he sits in the hall and waits to go in." One condition Chief Forster insisted on was being present for the interviews. "If you think you're going to come in here and use me as a prop, you're wrong," Forster had told them. "This is my town, my station house, and my cop. And I'm the one who's going to catch hell for you guys hauling Garrison in here." Jesse wasn't happy about Forster's presence. Lundquist wasn't happy about any of it. But there was no avoiding it. Once they had started down this road, there was no turning back. "Okay, Daniels," Lundquist said, after letting the sight of Garrison sink in. "You're next." Daniels tried to keep a bored, "I've seen it all before" expression on his face. It didn't last. "Hey, what's this all about?" he said, his tough guy resolve quickly vanishing. "This is bull. I'm not talking to you. I got nothing to say." He turned and looked up at Chief Forster. "Chief, what's going on here? You're not going to let these two railroad me." Forster patted his cop on the shoulder. "Drake, if I were you, I'd answer Captain Lundquist and Chief Stone's questions honestly and get back to work. I'm sure you've got nothing to hide, and this is all a big mistake."
"What are you talking about, Chief? What's a big mistake?"
Forster didn't answer but made sure to stay behind Daniels. Lundquist said, "Look, Daniels, I'm not buying what Chief Stone here is selling. And so far, at least, neither is your chief."
"Selling? What are you talking about? Selling what?"
Daniels was already sweating, his breathing rapid and shallow. He turned back to look at his chief for support. "Stop looking at him," Jesse said, voice chilly and calm. "He can't save you. No one can save you. Because there are two people in this room who know the truth. You and me."
"What are you talking about?"
Daniels looked behind him again.
"Chief Forster, I swear, I don't know what—"
"Felicity Wildford," Jesse said. "You think you fooled me for 1 second with that lipstick routine? It must have seemed like a good idea at the time. I figure it was Garrison, the kid, and you. And things got out of hand. It happens that way sometimes. But you remembered the Tammy Portugal homicide and thought you could throw us off the scent." Jesse put his face very close to Daniels's. "The kid's dead, and Garrison is a tough guy, but he'll roll over on you eventually. They always do. It's called self-preservation. People want to save their own skins. How about you?" Daniels jumped out of his chair.
"That's it. We're done in here," he said, voice cracking.
Lundquist put a big paw on his shoulder and shoved him back in his seat.
"We're done when I say we're done. And I've got to tell you, the way you're acting makes Chief Stone's version of things sound better and better. You guys need a scapegoat, and you're trying me out for the part,"
Daniels said, catching a second wind.
"It's not going to work. If you had anything on me, you wouldn't be playing games with me. So either show me something, or let me out of here to go do my job."
Forster spoke up. "I told you my man wouldn't have been involved in anything like this."
"Thanks, Chief," Daniels said. "Now, can I go?"
Lundquist waved for him to calm down.
"In a second. Relax. Chief Stone, Chief Forster, can you give us a minute?"
Forster agreed immediately.
Jesse shrugged. "I don't like it, but this is your case."
He pointed at Daniels.
"Lundquist, I'm telling you, he's dirty."
When the door closed, Lundquist sat opposite Daniels. "It's just you and me now, you idiot. Don't speak unless I tell you to. Just sit there and listen. Like I said, I'm not buying that you had anything to do with the Wildford assault.
but there's no doubt you helped them cover it up. I don't want you, but I've got an open case and you're going to help me close it one way or the other. I don't want to hurt a cop, not even one as worthless as you. I might even see my way to guarantee you keep your benefits. Just give me Garrison and the kid, and tell me what the plan was. Daniels stood up out of his chair. Screw you and screw them guys. The next time you want to talk to me, it'll be with a lawyer present. I got nothing to say to you. Fair enough, Lundquist said, grabbing a file off the table. But before you go, I've got something you need to look at. He opened the folder and spread out crime scene photos from the Cummings homicides. These two were loose ends also. This is how your friends deal with loose ends like you and Garrison. Friends? What friends? Daniels said. His tough guy act even less convincing now. If they execute you and Garrison, at least I'll know who did it, and I can wrap up all the open cases at once. Lundquist got up. Those are copies. You can keep them. They're like a gift from the ghost of Christmas future. Your future, which, given how you're acting, will be a short one. So, last chance. You want to talk to me now? Daniel swept the photos off the table and stormed out.